I mean, it's true. Our town, like, their solution to everything is throw a fucking roundabout there. That's how they fix everything. It is so jank. It is ridiculous. This fucking roundabout has been built for the last year, and it is the worst thing. It's the smallest fucking roundabout, too. The first road that comes in to the next road that comes in are, like, literally one car length apart. So I'm surprised no one has died yet.
Hi, I'm TRB.
And I'm Heather D.
Welcome to Rantyville.
So, fuck it. If you guys are ready and you got your brewskis cracked or another bottle of wine open.
I only bought one and it's gone. I'm so pissed at myself.
Grab your blue ox.
I don't have blue ox. I don't. I've got all I have in my fridge right now is fucking pucker. I'm not fucking drinking pucker.
No, you're not.
On a Wednesday night. This is not. Today's Wednesday, right?
Yeah. Jesus, you made me think.
I know, right? Oh my god, this weekend's been such a fucking blur.
Yeah, it's been a shitty week.
I'm glad to hear that it's been shitty everywhere because, good fucking lord, it's been a shitty fucking week.
That it but has.
I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, it's right been now. Rough over here as well. It's hard finding a job.
Yeah, that sucks.
Mercury is in retrograde or something, or it was, maybe. I don't know. That's why everything is just shitty. Everything is just shitty right now.
If that means the moon is really fucking skinny, then I totally get it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's... Okay, so we were trying to figure this out. Sorry. Mercury in retrograde, because everyone's like, is Mercury retrograde? I'm like, I want to use that excuse to why I don't go to work, but I can't. Mercury in retrograde means that Mercury looks like it's going backwards instead of forward.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't understand it at all either.
And it sounds like you Googled it, so nobody needs to fact check you on that one.
Yeah, please don't fact check me, because I'm pretty sure that that's right.
Yeah, she Googled it.
It's all right, Heather. I think most of the fact check Heather D's came from me, and I'm right here, so...
Oh, thank you. Yes, thank you. Safe. That's true, actually.
Yeah, you're now officially in your safe place.
Yep.
This is a safe place. Everyone is happy. There's no judgment. Welcome to Rantyville.
Welcome to Rantyville. Indeed. Where it's population 2 plus you this week, except you just heard the voice of our awesome guest this week. Mr. Ryan Howard from the Digital Men podcast. Ryan is a previous guest on the Retail Rant. Recently, I actually had the pleasure of meeting Ryan, going and checking out a show featuring the band that's going to be our Artist of the Week this week. And Ryan is here to talk, have fun, and promote the long-running Digital Men podcast, as well as his new project he's got coming up. So that being said, boys and girls... Mr. Ryan Howard, welcome to Rantyville.
Thank you very much. And, well, I've been on Rantyville before, and I can think of only one way to start these festivities, so if you will give me just one second.
Good man.
There we go.
Good man. I'm still on bottled Corona, hear that? That's right. That's a solid thud from glass. Ah, fancy life.
I'm so proud of you. I am so proud of you.
Oh, yeah. See, but, and then, you know, in the pre-show, I'm disappointed in you. One bottle, you only buy one bottle of wine knowing we're recording?
I know. What is wrong with me? I literally, like, bought one bottle. I'm like, oh, I should get the giant bottle if I'm only going to get one. And then I bought the $3.99 bottle of wine. What's wrong?
One day, you're actually going to get smart and put the reminder in your phone that says, go to Costco and get wine every other Wednesday.
Right, but I'd have to drive an hour and a half to go to Costco to do that. So that's why I don't do that, because I live in fucking Iowa.
Yeah, that's right. And I forgot, you know, the Amazon Prime Now is not a thing for you in the cornfields.
Yep, there's no booze delivery in Iowa.
Nope. That's a damn shame.
Yeah, the really only booze delivery I get, the only booze delivery I get is texting my husband. And I'm like, hey, on the, by the way, on the way home from work, can you stop by the grocery store?
Do you preface that with, hey, you up?
Yeah. Hey, you up? What you got going on? What you doing? What you doing right now? You're just like, I'm at fucking work. Can you drunk Heather go to bed?
Make sure the kids are good and pass out on the couch, please.
By the way, Heather, speaking of the kids, how is Boba Fett not a part of the family? He'd be a part of my family.
I have a question, because this has been a question that I have been asked by my children, and I'm just like, okay, I don't know how to answer this. Is Boba Fett a good guy or a bad guy?
He's a bad guy.
Oh, totally a bad guy.
He's a bad guy? Okay, yeah. Because my husband tells our children, he's like, yeah, he's not really good or bad. He's just Boba Fett. I'm just like, I don't know how to answer your question.
Yeah, but it's not like he ever showed, demonstrated conflicting morals in the movies.
Yeah, in the movies, Darth Vader tells him not to incinerate anybody, and then he tries to cash in on Han Solo.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that pretty much settles that debate right there.
That is a bad man.
Yeah. So,
That's what I always thought. That's how I was going to answer.
However, you are correct, and Mr. D is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Fact-checking. Thank you, Ryan.
Yep.
That's what I'm here for.
Plugging a podcast and fact-checking Heather.
Yep.
That's why we bring this man in. So, I have a question for both of you. Now, obviously, Ryan, you're not going to be answering half of this question. Not yet, at least. But this is also kind of a shout-out to you guys for things going on in your lives. That, quite honestly, being friends with both of you, I'm proud of. I'm glad to see. So my question is, when are you going to change the fucking battery in the smoke alarm?
Probably never.
It's all right, Ranty. I've got a noisy cat in here, so.
I got a loud cat, too. She's coming. I promise she will make an appearance.
Olive and Sophie are going to be doing duets tonight.
Oh, boy. But you know what? I don't know that we covered this last time, but I'm glad to see that Olive was found.
Yes.
She was okay. She was hiding out behind the Coke machine.
Yeah, it kind of pissed me off, because, like, literally, there she is. There, that fucking cat is. Please just stop.
Is everything in your house cued to me?
Yeah, they're just like, oh, that's Rancy. Let's talk to him.
Yeah.
No, so, like, she was gone for 2 days, and, like, I had... On the second day, I was like, okay, I'm going to have this conversation with the kids about how our cat is not in here anymore, because they didn't notice yet.
Right.
And I'm kind of surprised. But I was just like, so, guys, Olive got out the other day. We haven't found her yet, but we are looking very hard for her. But there's a possibility that we won't find her. Jonathan starts freaking bawling. And I'm just like, okay, I wasn't prepared for this. I mean, I knew we were going to be sad, but I didn't know we were going to be this sad. And he's just like, what do we do then? I'm like, well, we hope that she found a new family to be happy with, and she's happy and taken care of, and then we could get another cat if we need to. And Jonathan's like, I don't want another cat ever. Okay, you're being very, very dramatic right now.
Yeah.
Very dramatic. And so I'm just like, okay, fine. So I post on Facebook that our cat is gone, and I have only one picture of our cat on my phone, and it's me hungover taking a bathroom selfie with her, and I'm just like, okay, let's just crop my drunk face out of this.
If you find either of these people, yes, please return them.
One of them may be in a tent.
Yeah.
So I post that, and then I start telling I go outside, and everyone that walks into the building, into our apartment building, I'm like, hey, have you seen this cat, by the way? It's ours. And then I come back inside, and I see this motherfucking cat dart under the Coke machine, and I'm just like, are you kidding me right now? Within 20 minutes of posting it on Facebook, there she is, and everyone's, like, sharing it, and they're like, oh, I hope we find our cat. We'll help you look for it. And I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah, by the way, I found the motherfucker. It was ridiculous. And now she's back, and I remember how annoying she is.
And you're like, God damn you, Facebook.
Yeah, I know.
Why? Why did I put that up?
Yeah, she darted out of the door again, like, 2 days later. And Jake was just like, yeah, Mr. D, he's like, I'm not looking for her next time. Like, I totally feel that. I get that. Absolutely.
Yep. Yep. I couldn't tell you how many times I've run after the dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Just,
they don't appreciate what they have.
Mm-hmm.
Although I will admit, summertime, I don't mind him getting out. Because he literally gets like halfway down the block and he's like, man, fuck, it is hot out here. Where's that house that has the AC? Let me go back to that place.
Right? Appreciate it.
Yeah. Like last time I didn't even have to pick him up and carry him or put him on a leash. He just walked.
Oh, yeah.
Like, head down, full of shame. But like, seriously, dude, get me off this fucking asphalt. I am dying.
This horrible cat. Okay, so like... Everyone's like, put food out for her to make sure that she, like, stays close. I'm like, okay, that actually makes sense. Like, she's not an outdoor cat. She will not. She does not know how to hunt. Those instincts are gone. Mm-hmm. So I walk out with, like, a paper plate of food. And the motherfucking wind is blowing really fucking hard. It just blows the entire plate of cat food all over our front entrance. And I'm just like, well... I'm already a little bit drunk, so I am not going to clean this up. And then I go out a little bit later, after I found her, and there's another stray cat eating the cat food. And I'm just like, oh, wonderful.
He looked like the person that just left the cookout talking about, hey, I'm going to make you a plate and bring it.
Yeah, right?
No, I'm making Mr. D a plate. Mm-hmm, yeah, yeah. No, it's fine.
Mm-hmm, yep. it was a freaking adventure.
Oh,
she's back, and that's who you hear right now.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So back to my question. I just want to ask, which one of these things is harder? Your baby's first 11 months, ooh, in honor of Nora being now 11 months old. Congratulations.
No. Thank you.
And or the first 45 days of marriage.
Ooh.
A tip of the cap to Mr. Ryan and Catherine Howard, who have now been, I think it's actually officially 46, mm-hmm, but, I mean, who's counting?
Congratulations.
You are, but I'm not.
Thank you.
Congratulations, that's amazing.
Thanks.
Yes, yes, and by the way, your wedding photos, dude, so unique and so awesome.
Great.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that...
Amazing.
For those of you who don't know or aren't, you know, friends with me on Facebook, we did a Lord of the Rings wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the bride and groom parties are in costume. Everyone looks super cool. Everything just turned out great. And honestly, it's not only going to be something that I remember for the rest of my life, but I think everyone who was there is going to remember it for the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That is truly awesome. Now, I will tell you one quick funny thing before you guys answer. So I was flipping through and I saw the photos, I think day or two after the wedding, and my son was sitting next to me, and he said, why did that man get married dressed as Star-Lord? And I was like, yeah, buddy, it's not a Guardians of the Galaxy wedding. And he just kind of, but he looks like Star-Lord. And it was just based on the jacket. He saw the mm-hmm jacket. And I was like, I don't know, buddy. I'll ask him. And he dropped it right there. He left it alone. But yeah, that was pretty funny.
Nice.
But, yeah. Yeah. So yeah, which one do you guys think has been harder, or, you know, has it not been hard for you? I mean, I know, Ryan, you up and moved to be with your new wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Heather, 11 months, third kids, really old hat.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a girl this time.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I've been there, done that.
So, what I'm going to say, I love Kathy. I love Kathy so much. I'm so glad that we now live together. With that being said...
Oh, shit.
Kathy is a vegetarian.
Oh, no!
I'm right, not. Yeah.
Yes.
Did she tell you before the wedding?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
I've known the whole time. But I thought it would just be a matter of, okay, I'm going to make a meat and a vegetable for myself, and then I'll have that same vegetable for Kathy and something else.
Yeah,
but there's more to it than that.
Oh,
there are things that I do that she finds disgusting.
Yeah.
One of them is saving bacon grease for later. She does not understand the concept of this, and every time I do it, you'd think that I was, like, saving my own shit.
Oh, man.
It's like, why do you need that? I'm like, I use it to make eggs.
Yep. Honey, it's leftover flavoring.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, all the flavor's in the fat.
It's great for biscuits and gravy.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
I actually do agree with that. Like, kids are frustrating, they're exhausting, they're so very needy, but it is different between having to, like, argue with a child and then, not argue, but figuring out a child and then figuring out another full-grown adult. I do, and I just had this conversation with my sister, which is so crazy, but I do believe that marriage is more challenging than children.
Really?
I do. I agree with that. I think so.
And let me preface that, I mean, obviously you and Jake are, like, the perfect couple together.
Oh, absolutely. We love each other so much. Like, we get each other. Everything is great. But there are things that each other does that the other person is not accustomed to. And it is about figuring out your breaking points and, like...
Well,
is hard.
I was going to say, I think we just figured out your breaking point would be if Jake came home and said, hey, we're going vegetarian.
Yeah, that'd be real hard. That would be very hard. He tried to go keto on me, and I'm just like, I love carbs. Well, I'm not helping you with that. And he's just like, I want to go keto. And I'm like, then you're doing the grocery shopping because I'm buying bread all the time.
Yep.
See, I actually am keto, so.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Is it challenging? It just seems so insane.
The first 2 weeks is a nightmare, but once you get past those 2 weeks, you don't miss it.
Okay.
And what I do, once a week, I will allow myself a day where I don't follow the diet, I eat whatever I want, and that helps with the mental health aspect of it. Mm-hmm. But in general, I mean, like, I've lost right around almost 100 pounds at this point.
Nice.
Wow. Excellent. Good for you, man. Yeah, because I'll admit, you were pretty trim and rocking that leather jacket until it got hot in the club, mm-hmm. and then you were like, yeah, fuck this leather jacket.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because, I mean, and what I consider a small crowd, probably, what, like 50 people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the end, all the opening acts, you know, they left with their parents. You know, they put their bass in the back of mom's Vinnie Man, and they were like, all right, can we go to Dairy Queen now? Show's over. But, yeah, you were looking pretty trim, man.
Thanks.
So, yeah, hats off to you with the keto. A diet? Fuck that. I can't stick to that shit.
Right, that's the thing, is, like, I can't do a diet that doesn't allow alcohol. Like, there's hardly any diet, there's, like, no diets that allow alcohol, because you have to not eat, and then you can drink your alcohol.
You can.
You're super unhealthy and binge drinking.
You can drink certain alcohols on keto, like, I mean, vodka doesn't have carbs, whiskey doesn't have carbs.
Well, you're back in the game, Heather.
I know, maybe I could do keto. I just have to stay away from the beer.
It's just steak and vodka.
I could do that. That's something I could get on board with.
The steak and vodka diet.
And every now and then I just mix it up and do Bloodka and Svedka.
Oh.
Right? See, now, if they had advertised it like that, I would have been on board with it.
Well, there you go. Now you just rename it something else, and now it can mm-hmm. be the Heather D diet.
There we go. You heard it here first, folks.
Mm-hmm. 32 ounces of medium rare steak and one bottle of Blue Ox vodka a day, and watch the pounds melt off.
Perfect.
The only way you end up cheating on this diet is when you get arrested for DUI and they give you carbs in jail.
They're like, now here's some mac and cheese, bitches.
You gonna eat them mashed potatoes, bitch. I don't give a fuck what diet you on. Blue that's Ox? Great. No, that's that bitch in the corner. She Blue Ox. Got no motherfucking vodka in here.
I'm going to get drunk next time and make everyone refer to me as Blue Ox. It's going to be so weird.
You know what? Just go in and change your Twitter. Heather Blue no. Ox. God damn it, I did the fucking air quote.
You did. I heard it. Like, I could feel it.
There was a disturbance in the force.
Yes. I'm going to be Blue Ox, formerly known as Heather D.
Just change your profile picture to a bottle of Blue Ox.
Right.
And just put some banging eyebrows on it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's gonna be me in a lumberjack just downing a bottle of Blue Ox. Why not?
Hey, and Tyler, I know you're not here this week, but you now have your Photoshop assignment.
Yes.
Yep. Do it.
I need a new Twitter profile picture.
Yeah, this just Heather lumberjack and a Blue Ox in the background. Done. Done.
Fantastic.
Heather Bunyan.
Yeah. I'm all about that.
Oh, man. That would be... Oh, that would just be great. I'd love it. I'd love that.
But yes. What do you think, Randy? Marriage versus kids. Which do you think is harder?
Marriage wasn't that difficult for me and Mrs. Randy. Only because we lived together for, like, 2 years before we got married.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the kid before that. So, you know, the first little Ranty is actually a bastard. Although I'm allowed to say that. Quick side story. Her ex-husband once called in a drunken fervor and referred to our child as a bastard.
Oh, God.
Yeah. She was about 100 feet away in a parking lot because she didn't really want me to see that side. Yeah, my eyesight's still pretty good. My hearing's even better. Yeah, I heard every motherfucker and fuck you and I'm like, God, that escalated quickly. And she's like, son of a bitch called her son a bastard. And I was like, what's his number? I'll fix this motherfucker. But, yeah, no, marriage, you know, getting acclimated to each other, you know, I'm not going to say that it was always a case where, you know, one would take a dump with the door open and have a conversation with the other one in the next room.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to that point.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, yeah. Unless the kids are awake.
Yeah.
Because then they want to come in and be like, "Dad, can you open this thing? Hey, Dad, can I play the Switch? I'm trying to take a shit. Leave me alone."
No, yeah.
Like the smell doesn't deter you? For fuck's sake, what's wrong with you?
Kids don't develop a sense of smell until like 5, and then they're just like, "Ooh, that smells like butt," and I'm like, "You just wanted to say butt, actually."
Smells like bunny, you mean?
But, yes. Like, ooh, those bunnies are smelly today.
God, Mom, your bunnies are really hopping.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's a problem.
How did you get through Easter with the bunny problem?
I am surprised that when we were at my in-laws' house that they didn't bring out more of the bunnies things. But, like, so my in-laws made my children put on these bunny suits, and it was like not bunny suits, but it was like a hat and like a little bunny ears and a bunny tail, and they just started talking about bunnies, and I'm like, just stop, just don't. I'm like, both the boys looked at me and smiled. I'm just like, don't fucking do it right now. I'm like, your great grandparents are here, don't. Yeah, I'm surprised we made it through that. We did somehow, some way or another, through thoughts and prayers, we made it. But yeah, no, Jake and I had gotten married the month after we had our first son. Granted, mm-hmm. we also moved in together 3 weeks after we first officially started dating. And we got pregnant on our one-year anniversary, so we did it all very, very quickly.
Yeah,
it was all just like this bum rush of adulthood, and it was all challenging. I think in the long run, though, marriage is harder. And I think it honestly comes down to you're more patient and more forgiving and understanding. And I don't want to say loving, but something that you created, a person that you created, you're just like, I can't hate you because you're part of me. You know?
This is half my fault.
Yeah. And I'm just like, that's me right there coming out, mouthing off to me. That's me. You know?
Yep.
I can see me at 5 years old telling my mother to kiss my bunnies.
Exactly, exactly. It is challenging to have to change your ways and apologize to another adult who you had not had any interaction with before, and that you're just like, okay, we're gonna make our lives mushed together, and it's challenging and it's hard to figure out, and eventually you do, and there are, I will promise you, though, there are things that you guys will never see eye to eye on. And they will always come up, especially if you guys start drinking a lot. And then those fights will surface somehow. But you'll work through them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yep. It's fun.
And the one thing with kids, you're trying to mold them a certain way, and it's a collaborative effort.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You're both trying to put every bit of good that you have into the kids while trying to minimize the bad, even though, you know, she might be the first one that, you know, has a kid repeat the first curse word. They all said it was going to be me. It wasn't.
A little bit of trauma. It's okay. Mm-hmm. It makes the kids funny. Yeah. They have exactly. A good sense of humor. They got a good head on their shoulders. I mean, we don't want to traumatize them to the point where they're not fixable.
No. 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 But, you know, it is funny when the first time they curse is after your wife has just said, "some fucking people." To the McDonald's drive-thru attendant, and then in the back seat, you just hear, "some fucking people." Yep. You know? And I literally, like, my eyes get big, my mouth puckers up, and I look at her, and she's just got this death stare, like, "oh, God, what did I do?" And immediately, I'm like, "see? See? You and my mother. Both of you said it would be my fault." Mm-hmm. I'm going to call my mom right now and just let her know. It was you. It was your fault.
Oh, in our house, it was Mr. D. I don't remember the exact first word, cuss word that they said, but they were playing Crash with Dad, and then I come home, and I start playing Crash, and then I fail, and then Jonathan is just like, "fucking game."
Oh, that's glorious.
Oh, it was, I couldn't stop laughing. At the same time, I was just like, please don't say that when you go to preschool. Yeah, every time one of us fails at a game, or if he fails at a game, it's just like, this fucking game. Like, it's not the game, it's the player. But
That's all right. So my own kid wasn't the first one, but my friend's kid actually got kicked out of daycare at a Baptist, like, it was a Baptist church daycare.
Oh, God.
So I'm at work. I get a phone call from her, and I'm like, "hey, what's going on?" She's like, "hey, I'm just telling you right now," because I, you know, this is somebody I grew up with, you know, from like age 5. I've known this chick longer than I've known my own brothers. And so it was, you know, "hey, what's going on? Look, I hate to call you and say this, but, like, we both really have to watch our language around my daughter." And I'm like, "well, why?" And she goes, "well, I'm on my way to pick her up from daycare. She's in the, I don't know, whatever, the equivalent of the principal's office. And I don't know if they're going to let her back." And I'm like, "okay. Like, I'm not the father of this child. Why are you calling me?" And apparently, so there were several times, you know, she was 3 or 4, and you know how those kids, you know, at that age, kids can just be like, "oh, I don't want to go to bed, so I'll think of anything to stay up." You know, "oh, I need a drink of water. Oh, I had a bad dream. Oh, this mosquito bite on my leg hurts." You know, "oh, I remembered a thing you said 3 weeks ago, and now I want to talk about it at 11 o'clock at night." So there were several instances where you just get tired of it and be like, "go get in your fucking bed." And I'll admit, I said it. She said it. Her brother said it. It didn't matter. She just got it. It was, you know, it didn't matter who it was. Somebody eventually was going to tell her, "just go get in her fucking bed."
Mm-hmm. There's a little book called "Go the Fuck to Sleep." I mean, that's a book.
Yes. And then have it. Well, no, play the YouTube video where Sam Jackson reads
it. Yep, I've seen that.
Oh, that's the best.
LeVar Burton made a video reading it as well.
Oh, he did?
Yep.
Oh, man. But yeah, Samuel L. Jackson is by far the best man for that job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My gay best friend got that for me for my baby shower. It was fantastic.
Well, so I, So I'm like, so what's going on? Like, what's wrong? Is she okay? And she goes, yeah, she's fine, but it was nap time, and some of the other kids wouldn't go to their, you know, they have cots, you know, like little folding beds. So she decided to stand in the middle of the room and just say, all right, everybody, it's nap time. Get on your fucking cots.
Of course.
You know, a private daycare, not built into a church. Maybe they just say, hey, look, we had an incident with your kid. Just talk to her about language, please. No. When it's a Baptist church and everyone there is, you know, like, I'm not saying super uber religious and they're not nuns, but, you know, you're probably going to be asked to not come back, which ended up being the case.
Apparently, if your child yells that in the middle of Baptist daycare, not even Jesus can do anything for her at this point.
Exactly. There's no, all right, well, look, you need to go over there and you need to, you know, read the Bible, you know, read this chapter in the Bible about, you know, you shouldn't say unkind words or something like that. And just, you know, fuck that. You get on your fucking cot. You know? Oh, man.
So, Ranty, you've got a little child conductor on your bullet train to hell now who, instead of shouting all aboard, shouts, get in your fucking cots.
That's right. That's right. I'm actually just going to hand her the little, you know, the little microphone for the speaker system for the PA and just be like, all right, girl, you know what to do. She goes, attention, this is the Ranty Express train, 387, straight to hell. Get in your fucking seats now. I don't give a fuck. Get in your fucking seats. Yeah. The crazy thing is, that was when she was like 4. This girl's about to graduate fucking college now, So that makes me feel really old.
Oh, man.
Yeah, plus the fact that, so like, Heather, you and Mr. D had the kids a little bit later in life. She gave birth at 17.
Oh, man. Yeah, compared to that kid, everyone else is like, you were so young when you had your child.
Yeah, like, she missed high school to have a baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't imagine that.
Yeah, it was insane. So I felt bad for her too, because at that point it's like, well, you know, those fun college years where you get to go out and party all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are right down the drain. Because, you know, hey, look, they're having a party over at so-and-so's house. Hey, you want to come? Oh, man, it's kind of last minute. I'm not going to be able to find a babysitter.
Yeah.
And that's when you're just like, oh, wow, let's just never invite Buzz Killington again.
Right? I know, I was 22 when we had Jonathan, and I was just like, damn it, I'm still riding out my turning 21 year. I'm like, I still want to drink all the time. I felt bad for that. Yeah, I can't even imagine having a kid at 17. That would be so hard.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, you know, you graduated 18, and, you know, your parents and your siblings and your kid are all clapping for you as you go across the stage. You know, oh, look, there's mommy! No. Yeah. No. I waited till I was 30. I got all the wild hairs out of my ass, only because it's kind of hard to even think about the concept of going skydiving and thinking, if the chute doesn't open, do I really want the mother of my children to have to look at my two kids and be like, daddy's not coming home because he's a dumb fuck.
Yeah.
He jumped out of an airplane and his parachute didn't open, and they'd just be like, why the fuck did he do that?
It is.
What an idiot. I'm glad he's dead.
That does keep us from driving home drunk from the bar, though. I mean, it is a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a set of checks and balances.
Absolutely.
That and your newfound Uber.
Yeah. Yeah. The one that we have.
The one creepy ex-cabbie.
Yeah.
Who's like, oh.
He never works. He's just like, I signed on to Uber once. Now I'm done.
Yeah. Well, so Uber brings me to a point, and we discussed this also in the pre-show, potholes.
Oh, yes. Mm.
You've got these fancy $4 million roundabouts in the west side of Rantyville.
Yes, we do.
But still got roads full of potholes.
Absolutely, we do.
Yeah. So in my scrolling through, I believe it was Reddit, again, one of my new favorite places to hang out, and really just troll. Like, I don't hardly post anything, but goddamn, it's some good shit in there, as long as you can get past the politics.
Mm-hmm.
But I have found the solution for the potholes in Western Rantyville. Somebody has managed to get their local Department of Transportation or public authority, whatever it is, to fix the potholes with a can of black spray paint. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, no.
A can of black spray paint. They're not filling the holes with paint, just in case you were wondering. They're spraying dicks around the potholes. So now every pothole in this particular town had a giant dick complete with nuts and pubic hair.
That's
drawn around it.
That's art.
It is, but it's also fucking ingenious. Do you think your local city council is going to let a bunch of dicks stay spray painted on the street for months at a time?
Well, that depends. Were they circumcised?
You know, I'll be honest with you, I did not look that hard to see if they were clipped or not. I was actually paying attention to the perfect roundness of the testicles. I mean, there was no Picasso there. You might as well have had a stencil on these nuts. and you know, it was great though, because the pubic hair all looked like someone had just gotten tasered because it was all standing straight out. But literally, the one guy said, these potholes have been here for a year. And, you know, they don't know who this anonymous vandal was. I'm going to guess that the guy giving the, you know, the interviewee might have just had a big smirk on his face, like, dicks painted in the street? What are you talking about? But, yeah, they said that all of a sudden, all these potholes, like, people go to sleep, they wake up in the morning, and, like, the three potholes in front of their house now had cocks drawn on them. And within a week, every single pothole that had a dick drawn on it was fixed.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And the best part was, someone from the city council was like, oh, no, we had the money budgeted. We were getting to the project. All that work was actually completed on a schedule.
Of course.
No, you just didn't want people running around talking about, like, hey, check it out. I live in, you know, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and I have a street full of dicks. You know, and you think, like, oh, wow, this guy's really got some hatred for his neighbors. And then he's on Instagram just walking with his phone pointed down, and you're like, one dick, two dick, three dick, oh, blue dick. Ran out of black spray paint.
If we did that here, though, like, every single street would be covered in dicks. Every single one. Mm-hmm.
There's a road not far from where I live where, fortunately, they very recently have patched a few of these potholes, but it's pothole after pothole. It's more pothole than road.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
God.
Yeah. Damn it, I was hoping you'd say something and I could name the episode based on that. Field of Dicks or something. Road to Dickville.
There's still time.
That gives a whole new meaning to "If you build it, they will come."
Never mind. I got it. Pubes and pavement.
There we go.
That's it.
Boy, even when we don't have Tyler on, we take it right back to the dick jokes.
Yep.
Right back to it.
From the show that brought you Cum Dragons.
Yes. Yes. But we know it wasn't some curmudgeon out there painting it, because he'd have to bend over to get down to a pothole.
Yep.
They would have found the culprit, like, literally the next morning, just bent over, frozen, locked up from arthritis, going, that spray paint can isn't mine. I don't know what you're talking about. Someone painted a dick.
Yes.
Yeah.
That actually...
You can tell I didn't paint that dick. It's erect.
I clearly couldn't have painted that penis. Notice the lack of a blue pill. I mean, just any kind of artwork would work, I guess. You know, although they'd be like, oh, look at all these sunshines and all these smiley faces. No, no. Draw dicks.
Yeah, that's the way to get shit done.
Yeah. Yeah. Drawing dicks drawing dicks brings all the pavement workers to the street. I don't know.
Right? I know what we're doing this week.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Don't drive home drunk from the bar.
Yeah.
Take also- the one Uber there. Have them stop at the hardware store. Get a few black cans of spray paint. Carry it into the bar. Then walk home. And then you can just have, like, you can have, like, the contest of cocks between you and Mr. D, and, you know, maybe Sylvia's there. And she's like, I'll come draw a dick.
Oh, no, she'll, okay. No, she'll be the reverse suit. That was a line, we almost crossed it.
Almost.
She'll be giving birth soon. No, and I'm way more artistic than Mr. D. Like, who do you think painted the boat fat? Not Mr. D.
All right, well, game on. Game on. Or you know what? Better yet, do that for when Tyler and Syndic come.
That's what we'll do. Yes. That's what we'll do. Instead of going to the stand-up.
You can have a four-way cock-off.
Yes!
I just want to go out there and judge it like a legitimate art critic and be like, I notice on this one a distinct lack of veins.
And, oh, look, someone went to the grocery store and actually placed mushrooms at the end of them.
Oh, God.
Yeah, the contest of cocks. And then just, like, you know, just post two pictures side by side and who did it better. Oh, man. Yeah. Yep. You have your mission now, Heather.
Yes.
Tyler's got his Photoshop. You've got your contest of cocks. Which, if anybody listened to just that segment, no, she's not having an orgy. You can't DM her.
I'm sorry. Don't slide up in.
No.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, just slide up in the potholes.
Which are huge, by the way.
Craters. Oh, so, speaking of sliding up in.
Mm-hmm, of course.
Yeah, of course, right?
Mm-hmm.
We again, pre-show, you mentioned the dying mall.
Oh, yeah. It's sad. It's very sad. Oh, I mentioned to our neighbors in a message before this, because our neighbors, who, fuck them, have been bumming cigarettes off of us for the last month, and their father-in-law, who doesn't even live here, bummed a cigarette off of us today.
Oh,
and
shit.
They smoke weed, and I'm like, how can you buy weed and bum cigarettes from me? That's not okay. I need to fucking not live here.
Hey, man, I got a budget, man.
Yeah.
The tax on cigarettes is crazy. Weed doesn't have a tax, man.
It's true. I mean, not yet. It's
Well, unless you're in Colorado.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. It's coming. It's coming eventually. It'll be taxed, but right now it's not here.
Yeah. Well, so the dying mall.
Mm-hmm.
You have a dying mall on the west side.
Oh, it's bad.
So, in my travels yesterday, I said, you know what? I'm going to pull in here. I hadn't been in this particular mall on the east side here for quite a while. I pulled in, literally, so any Chick-fil-A I've ever been to, I've never not seen somebody at the counter ordering food, let alone not seen a cashier. That's literally within the first 20 feet of walking into this mall. And, you know, hearkening back to my TRB talk about, you know, are you working in a dying mall? I knew right there. This motherfucker wasn't dying, it was dead. But then, as I walk through, because I'm like, all right, I wonder if this store and this store are still in there. Breaking news, they're not.
Oh.
Yeah. And every mall has, like, small seating areas here and there, because they're trying to at least get you to even, like, come and fucking steal the Wi-Fi. No. Not even that. The first little cluster of chairs I walk by, and you've got the obligatory, we fix cell phones, we'll unlock your iPhone and fix your screen and all this and that. So, there's, like, three kiosks, there's two people working, and there's one guy at the kiosk with a baby in a stroller sleeping, and his wife has pulled one of the chairs next to the kiosk, and she is out. So I'm like, okay, I get it. You know, bring your kid to work day, and, you know, your wife was like, I don't want to be home alone and bored. Whatever. I walk on. I get to the second set of chairs. That's when I knew, hands down, this place is dead. So, Sears, gone. Macy's, gone. Dillard's, gone. JCPenney, going out of business.
We already lost ours.
Yeah. Well, these other three anchor stores that are gone, like, you still see the facade on the outside that makes you think they might still be open.
Ours too. Yeah.
They have literally built a fucking wall over the entrance, and it's not even a finished drywall project. You can still see the tape in the mud where they put each sheet of drywall up to block off this, you know, 50,000 square foot space. Like, they're not even trying to rent it. And I was like, holy shit. Then I get to the second set of chairs, and there's four homeless people.
Oh, God.
Sleeping in the mall. And I watch, you know, the fake cop walk by, which, furthermore, they don't even have a fucking Segway. Every other mall around here at least has a fat guy on a Segway thinking he's Paul Blart.
Our mall doesn't even have security. We have the janitors, the mall janitors. They're like the security of it. Like, they come in if you're having a shoplifter. Like, we don't even have that.
Wow.
This mall, it's not even a joke. Syndic will tell you. I promise you, this mall is so fucking sad. I saw a literal DM coming out of Route 21, which is a surprising store that's still there. I watched them on my lunch break one time going around and counting how many empty stores we had. And I'm just like, I know exactly what you're doing right now. And
They listen to my TRB talk.
Absolutely. This mall is set. The only anchor store that we have left is Dunham Sports. Have you ever fucking heard of Dunham Sports?
Nope.
Does Jeff own it?
Not a thing. Probably. Jeff down the street? Yeah, he probably owns Dunham Sports. It's our only anchor store. It is fucking sad.
Jesus. That is bad.
It's real bad.
And a regional anchor store.
It's bad. It's real. Wow. Real fucking bad. I'm glad I got it.
Now, what is sadder, your mall or the entire city of Cincinnati?
That's hard to say, because I actually grew up in Cincinnati, Iowa, which not many people know is a thing. It has a population of 300, so I already am like, that's the worst Cincinnati I've ever known.
That's just a thing between me and Syndic. She got really pissed at me one time because I was talking shit about Cincinnati.
He was telling us about this. And he was saying about the distance from here to Cincinnati, Ohio, and I'm just like, wow, that's crazy. I grew up in Cincinnati. And then we made a joke about how I grew up in a village. It's not a real thing, and how I spelled volunteer wrong. And I'm like, Iowa education for the win. Oh, it's yeah. I would argue that my Cincinnati at my mall is worse. I'm sorry, guys.
That's fair.
Fair enough.
That's fair.
Yeah. No,
that is sad.
I will say we don't really have a problem with homelessness. I mean, we do have a problem with homelessness here, but we don't see it.
Yeah, you don't see it sleeping next to the food court.
That is one thing. I will give you that.
Yeah. They have plenty of cornfields to hide in.
Yes.
Yeah, and the sad thing is, this mall used to have literal destination stores in it. When I didn't live where I am now, friends and I would literally drive the hour and 15 minutes to go to this mall like 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. They had a Warner Brothers store. They had the closest Disney store. They had, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Like, it was the hot poppin' place for, you know, companies to try out a storefront. It was awesome. And now I'm like, holy fuck. Like, they have Foot Locker that has three O's in foot. You know, every other sneaker store that sells sneakers and hats is literally the owner's initials and then sports.
Yeah, of course.
So, like, I saw GS Sports, KD Sports, and LN Sports, and I'm like, okay, You guys couldn't just get together and make one giant fucking store? They save on the rent that they might not even be charging you?
It's ABC Sports.
Yeah. Dunham Sports.
Man, that's...
right?
That's actually, like... I think I know which mall you're talking about now, Ranty, because a lot of people don't know this. I was actually born in East Rantyville.
Oh, man.
Yes.
So, yep. I remember going to that mall when we'd come back to visit. So, knowing that it's now basically like an abandoned Egyptian tomb, that's kind of sad.
Yep. Yep. I mean, almost every, I think Forever 21 is the only recognizable name left other than Chick-fil-A. And they soon to close JCPenney. But the crazy shit is, they're building fucking Starbucks and Panera in the parking lot.
Of course.
I'm like, I guess it's cheap. Who knows? I say, take the whole place, make it a giant indoor paintball arena. Let me run it. I'll make you millions.
Definitely.
It'll be so much more fun than walking through and seeing people with their prized possessions and black trash bags sleeping in tub chairs. and somehow perfectly curled in the fetal position, like they've been sleeping in this mall for years. And they know exactly how to contort their body so they don't throw their back out, you know, in the middle of the quote-unquote night, even though it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But anyhow.
I would totally take a nap at 2 o'clock in the afternoon if I had the opportunity.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and in this past weekend, I would have been somewhere probably taking a nap by 2 o'clock, but I didn't make it to the furnace party.
Oh, my God. No, I'm so sad about that. I mean, I'm glad your daughter had her birthday and everything, and Dad was there, but...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I can't imagine the shitstorm I would still be enduring if my wife had, you know, had to explain to these other parents that showed up to the party and be like, no, he's at the furnace party.
You would have been dead.
And then have to, like, subscribe to Reddit and be like, no, he's here. Oh, look, there he is in that picture. He's the guy, you know, double-fisting a couple beers and has a cheesesteak taped to his face.
Yeah.
But apparently the turnout was pretty good. It was like 1,000 people.
Yeah,
that's insane. 1,000 people.
Yeah, I saw the pictures.
For a subreddit.
Just a bunch of people hanging out, having a good time.
And I mean, there were a bunch of people in goofy costumes.
I mean, did anyone get melted down into a trophy or anything like that?
No, there was one guy that was walking around and he covered himself in aluminum foil.
That's great.
And then the other one I saw I really liked was a dude had taken like cardboard. You know how like kids do a cardboard cutout and they put a car around themselves? Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody had done one with a bulldozer.
Nice.
I was like, okay, all right. Yeah, they said they needed bulldozers and furnace equipment, so yeah, this guy came through.
Here he is.
Yep.
And in all honesty, though, the one thing that I won't say, well, I guess I'd say I was proud to see, because you know I follow this thread, and you know, again, I wanted to go just to be like, what the fuck, and also the guy who wrote the note, they found him. And they had him there.
Nice.
Yeah.
This is what you lost.
Yeah.
You did this.
But, you know, and the guy's sitting there, he's smiling, you know, look like he's having a good time. You know, and in all honesty, he did at least give off the appearance that he might have been homeless. So, you know what, that might have been the most interaction he'd had in years.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, hats off to him, but... somebody posted a picture like they went back like 2 or 3 hours after everything winded down and the food trucks and the beer trucks and all that left. And they said, you know, I don't live too far from there, so I figured I'd walk down and do my part and pick up the trash. And literally walked up and said there wasn't a single piece of trash left.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah. So anybody that was at the furnace party listening right now, hats off to you for not only having fun, but allowing it to maybe happen again next year.
That is crazy.
Because I can guarantee you, if you had left a mountain of fucking trash in a half-built furnace, oh no, April 27th next year, oh, fucking Philly PD be all over that bitch. Mm-hmm. Nope, get out of here. Nope, no furnace party this year. Get the fuck out. And already there's people like, hey, you know, what date are we setting for next year? do we keep it on the same calendar, you know, same calendar day, or do we go for, you know, the last Sunday in April?
It's like a Thanksgiving thing.
Yeah. I'm like, how did this really become a thing? Like, I just don't understand it, but it's fucking great.
That's fantastic.
Absolutely great. Yeah. Yeah, but it's not as great as Heather's favorite part of the show.
Here we go. Here we go.
Yes. Clear that throat.
Fourth grade whore. I had a hard time choosing. I had three that I was going to choose between, and then I narrowed it down to two, and then because you guys were talking about curmudgeon and elderly people, I decided to go with the man skills on dance floor attracts unwelcome attention.
Ooh.
This is funny, because when you first read it, you're like, okay, this guy has some skills. Maybe he's like Magic Mike on the dance floor. And then you read it, and he is no Magic Mike.
Oh, God. Ah, damn it, it's a woman again. Shit.
I looked for men do not write into Dear Abby. I try. I really do. Men don't give a shit about Dear Abby. I'm so sorry.
I need you to scour a little bit harder.
I...
Just Google man who writes to Dear Abby. I don't care if it's the same guy every week.
I'm going to write, dude, Dear Abby. There will be two. We've already read one. Well, so.
Yeah, it looks like I'm up.
Mm-hmm.
So this one's from April 21st of this year. Man's skill on dance floor attracts unwelcome attention. Dear Abby. Hold on, I gotta hydrate here for old lady voice. The clink of a fancy beer. All right. Dear Abby, my husband loves to dance and so do I. In fact, we met dancing many years ago during the horizontal mambo. He takes Zumba classes despite his knee problems from being a gay before. No, I'm just kidding. I loved Zumba but stopped because it hurt my knees because I was a comfort nurse in World War II. Many times women have come up to him, oblivious of my presence, to tell him how good he is. This has happened on cruises and just now in a restaurant. In a restaurant? Who the fuck dances in a restaurant?
Zumba in a restaurant?
Yeah, shit. All right. The lady will have an ice water. I'll take a Diet Coke. And how about I do a little jig for you and you throw some fried pickles in for me?
At least tell me they were doing this in a Texas Day Brazil.
Fingers crossed.
No, this doesn't sound like a... Look, if they got knee problems, I can guarantee you there's enough intestinal problems that Texas Day Brazil is not on their Tuesday night action list. George, would you like to go dancing and then have the meat sweats? Probably not.
Meat sweats are a real thing, by the way. That shit is awful.
Oh, yeah. So Mrs. Ranty and I did the Texas Day Brazil for the anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
I was proud of myself. I made it a whole 30 minutes before I had to just absolutely destroy porcelain. So hats off to me and my digestive. So good job, fella. Yeah, way to go. Maybe it's because I've lost weight. I don't know. It was like, oh, no, we still have space to expand. Remember when you were like 50 pounds heavier? Yeah. Let's see. Many times women have come up to him, oblivious of my presence, to tell him how good he is. This has happened on cruises and just now in a restaurant. I love that he's a good dancer. But I don't like random women telling him so. It feels like they are flirting. Yes, I am jealous because he is my husband. Are my feelings normal? Jealous in the East. All right. Okay. First
Zumba.
Of all. Zumba. Yeah. It's still a thing?
Yeah, apparently.
I mean, I know old people aren't going to do fucking CrossFit and flip tractor trailer tires over, but...
Zumba is elderly CrossFit. They're like, I'm dancing and standing.
No. Elderly CrossFit is jazzercise.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. This is like millennial elderly jazzercise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is for 45-year-olds. Like, I'm close, but I'm not quite there yet. I'm not at the Zumba level. I can still go, you know, lift a few weights, you know, and then soak in the hot tub for 3 hours. And when the lifeguard comes over and goes, sir, you've been in there for a while. I just look at him and go, I'm not a fucking pregnant woman. Go back to your stand. He came up to me tonight and said, yeah, you've been in there for a while, man. You feeling all right? I'm like, dude, I feel fucking great. I'm sitting in a hot tub. My kids are swimming in the pool. What's there to worry about? If you see this head disappear, all right, sure, come over and check on me. But until then, yeah, till then, I'm good. Abby is a stupid bitch. Her response is shit. But yeah, Zumba. I like, great. Or maybe it's an advanced age and doing Zumba is a big deal. That's great. I don't know why we needed to know about knee problems on you and you quit Zumba. Again, just useless information. But that shit about her being a comfort nurse, didn't make that up. Guarantee you she was blowing out boys when they came home from the big war. You know? Oh, you were shot by a Jap. Here, take off your trousers. I'll fix that for you. A humana, humana, humana. Yeah, this has happened on cruises. How many cruises are you going to go on knee problems? And let alone dance on a cruise ship. I mean, did you not see the video where this fucking cruise ship was going like 45 degrees up on either side a couple weeks ago? I mean, there's literally pieces of the ceiling falling down.
What's that?
Yeah, dancing on a cruise ship. You go on a cruise ship to go, hey, unlimited bar, right? All right, cool. Just keep them coming.
It's just so funny that she's just like, literally every woman on this planet wants my husband because he does Zumba. It is such a good dancer.
Yes.
It's like your husband is 80 and has a nurse. Nobody is trying to steal it from you.
Well, and the other thing is women are coming up and they're not recognizing that he's not doing the Carlton, he's dancing the Charleston. So it's all these millennial women that are coming up and they're like, hey, you dance really good. What is that? Oh, it's the Charleston. Oh, the Carlton? Yeah, I saw that on YouTube. That's awesome.
That's such a funny dance. Where's your sweater?
Wow, oh my God, it's so great. Like, you're an old white guy imitating a young black dude. That's amazing.
I feel like...
You're the fucking greatest.
Yeah, I feel like all of these compliments that he's getting on his dancing is more like, oh my God, you can still stand up. That's amazing.
Wow, I was really blown away the way you just pushed that walker away and refused its help while you cut a rug on the dance floor.
I can't help but picture this guy as the sexy dance fighting guy from the first season of Bob's Burgers.
Oh my God, yes.
He's Gyro.
Caballera. Oh my God, I fucking love that. Yeah, I can see that, but just like, that's even still too young for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see those are the dance moves that he's doing. It's just like a bunch of like moving your arms and moving your legs and not doing anything.
And throw in a twirl just for good measure. Mm-hmm.
Covered in oil. But yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you know, people coming up and complimenting your husband is not flirting.
No.
It's not. Now, and if they're complimenting him on his dancing, it's not like they're coming up and going, wow, you've got a great ass that really lets you dance amazingly well. No, they're coming up and going, hey, you're a hell of a dancer.
I mean, like, she's trying to spin it like he's like fucking Magic Mike. I'm telling you, like, that's what I thought. First of all, I'm just like, man, this guy better. He must have some really good dance moves. And then Zumba. I was like, okay, never mind. Just kidding.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, he takes Zumba classes despite his knee problems. Okay, thanks for the medical history, Brenda. Fuck.
All these women give so much extra information that they feel is going to, like, win people over to their side. I'm like, it's not. It's just more fuel for us to laugh about.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And it's actually the first line of the whole thing that gets me. My husband loves to dance, and so do I. All right. Many times women have come up to him oblivious of my presence. So he's just got more stamina on the dance floor? Or is this like a swing thing where you just pass your wife off and she dances over here and you dance over there?
Hey, maybe it's a good line dancing thing that they're doing.
Could be. Could be. I could see you getting through that with line, you know, with knee problems. Mm-hmm. It's not overly complex. All right? I mean, you got 350-pound guys in cowboy boots, you know, sleeveless flannel shirts, and they're busting a move when outside of work, pretty much all their athletic activity is tipping cows.
Which
I can see line dancing.
I am going to set the record straight. We don't do that in Iowa. I've never tipped a cow in my entire life.
Wait till you walk home one night painting dicks on a street drawing.
I can't wait. It'll be so much fun.
Yep. Yep. I'm telling you. You gotta do it. And it's 50% for the comedic value. It's 50% to see if they respond.
I know. I really hope they do. Like, either way, I win. Either it's everywhere or the roads are drivable.
But and the funny thing will be, you know, you spray paint the dick, and 2 days later you come back and it's gone, but it hasn't rained.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go, look, you guys will clean up the graffiti in the street, but you won't fill the fucking potholes? Like, you know.
Look,
yeah, you know. Well, maybe you shouldn't do that. Maybe you shouldn't paint dicks in the street. Because then somebody's going to have a Ring doorbell video of Leona trying to suck off the pavement all the way down the block. I don't know who this woman was, but she just kept putting a mouth next to the pothole and saying, give it to me.
I still have not seen her since ladies' night out. I'm just waiting to see sober Leona and be like, hey, by the way, drunk you confronted me and you're a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, just, you know, drunk you confronted me, and, you know, I don't feel safe.
No, like, I'm gonna send a sympathy card to your husband because I feel bad for him, but, oh my god. But yeah, Zumba, this is so ridiculous. So, like, even Dear Abby, like, this is weird. Her response, it was, like, one response, and then, like, the second part of her response felt like a completely separate thing, but she's just like, you're an insecure little bitch, no one wants her husband. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and part of her response is, as long as your husband acts appropriately in accepting the compliments, you may be overreacting. Okay, so unless George is out there dancing and someone comes up and goes, George, you are an absolutely amazing dancer. You really dazzle on the dance floor. And he turns and looks and says, well, thanks, Susan, and you have exquisite tits.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, you should be happy that you've got an older version of Patrick Swayze out there on the dance floor.
Right.
You know, or Kevin Bacon, however you like it.
Patrick Swayze, definitely.
Let's be honest, he's probably Chris Farley.
Likely, which would certainly account for his knee problems.
Definitely. He's got the Chippendale little wristlets on.
Oh God. Oh. Yeah, that right there is one of my all-time favorite SNL sketches, mm-hmm. is Farley against Swayze for the Chippendales audition. And Swayze's like, I mean, he really brought it, man. I thought he had me beat. Oh, man. Old, old videos from old, old people. And then young people that have watched it on YouTube and been like, hey, that's a classic. And I'm like, no, I remember when it came out. It played at 11:48, 1992, on a Saturday. Yeah. Yeah, and not feeling a twinge of pride in his accomplishment. Now, I don't know if it's... I mean, is he winning awards?
Yeah.
Is he taking home trophies? You know? But then she does make a good point, you know, like you said. You know, your feelings are normal for someone who is insecure.
Bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, no, 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 this is perfectly normal. Quit wasting my time, you cunt. God damn it, I hate you people.
Yeah, she does have a little bit of a clapback on her.
Yep.
Yes, she does. Yes, she does. And we need more of that.
Yeah, Abby's not fucking around anymore.
It's so much more entertaining when she does that. She's like, you guys are so fucking stupid.
Yeah. It's great that your husband can dance, but your dusty old ass needs to just fucking get over it.
Maybe you should continue with Zumba even though your knees hurt, because his knees hurt still too.
Yeah, yeah. Go take a spin class, fatty.
Yeah, I don't know if her like end game is just letting everyone know that she really like has a husband that knows how to dance, like her husband is hot or something. Yeah. I don't know what the end game in this is.
There isn't one. It's just I had to get it off my flat chest.
I mean, yeah. I have been in a situation where my husband has had my children in a grocery store, and for some reason, I get it. Dads are hot. And
Thanks.
You're welcome. There have been girls, like, flirting with him until I walk up, and then, like, oh, you're married. And, like, the ring didn't give it away. They flirt with him because he has kids, but I'm not writing into Dear Abby being like, am I in the wrong? I'm just like, I just walk up and I'm just like, yeah, by the way, this is mine. Stop.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, I had a funny one years ago. I was dating a girl who had two kids previously, and so she wasn't feeling well. I was like, I'll take the kids out of the house. So took them to like Burger King or something. And sitting there, I'm asking, like, hey, what do you guys want? You know, like, I know they're not my kids, but I'm gonna treat them good. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to be like, you're not my fucking hellspawn. Fuck you. So, yeah, I'm like, oh, what do you want? Do you want nuggets? You want a burger or whatever? And this lady in front turns around and goes, your children are so beautiful. Your son just looks like, your son looks just like you. But here's the best part. So at this point, I think Brady was like 8 years old, 9 years old. And I can't even get, like, a thank you but out of my mouth. And he just goes, it's not my dad. And this lady just, like, her eyes opened up. She didn't even apologize. She immediately turned around and turned into a furnace party statue. She did not fucking budge. Yeah, she was done. Yeah. He's not my dad. He kidnapped us, bitch. He said, we're going to make him a lot of money. It's a terrible thing. Although I did see that there is now a group of ex-Navy SEALs who are kind of acting like independently, not necessarily outside the law, but they're going out and like finding human traffickers.
Oh, good.
Hmm. I don't know if they're killing them. I doubt the article didn't really say. Not that I would frown on that. These guys would be very good at making bodies disappear. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. But, yeah, the fucking trafficking shit. Like, you know, my wife let the kid walk to the bus stop today. It's a block. Still, I was like, I mean, you know, that age, maybe not.
Yeah.
She's like, but it's our block. I'm like, yeah, but, I mean, there's fucking creepy vans everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
She was kind of like, all right, I won't do it again. I'm like, no. Just don't let them do it every day so that there's a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, so that the guy with the fucking blacked out windows in his van and a stainless steel table with lollipops on it is like, your daddy said to give you a ride to school. Take off your trousers, fat ass. God. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe the husband is Hank Hill. I don't know. Maybe it's Peggy.
I bet. I feel like Hank goes to Zumba.
Oh, I get out there and I kick some ass, do a little kickboxing. Then I go dance the night away while Peggy pines in the corner like a bitch.
Peggy's not insecure at all, though. Like, this is definitely not Peggy writing in here.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. That's true. Peggy would just grab Hank by the collar. You know, and he'd be like, all right, I'll stop dancing. God damn, let my nuts go. She'd have him by a shirt collar and a testicle at the same time. But they only show you from the waist up on the cartoon. Yep.
But that is hers.
You're just like, wow, that hurts, Hank. All right, so let's see. What do we got? What else we got left? We're not going to give any spoilers out. Endgame, you guys seen it? Heather, you haven't,
no,
right?
Okay. I did not see it.
Okay.
Because an 11-month-old.
But Well, yeah, but at the same time, your oldest kids made your youngest one Thanos.
It's true. Yes, they were playing.
That is awesome.
It was adorable. They were playing superheroes, and for some reason, Batman was there. I don't know why. I'm just like, did you guys even watch the Avengers? But they were playing Superman. One of them was not Superman, superheroes. One of them was Iron Man, and then one of them was the Hulkbuster Iron Man. And then there was Spider-Man mm-hmm. involved. And then they handed our little baby girl, who just turned 11 months old, this, like, it's actually one of those little TY Beanie Babies from McDonald's that they're giving away, or that they were giving away.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They handed one of those to her and was just like, this is your Infinity Gauntlet. <She's>
like, oh, my God.
And I was also like, please don't beat up your little sister. But... It was.
Take this limited edition teddy bear and kill half the universe.
It was the koala bear. They also have a narwhal. But it was adorable.
Nora's first words are going to be perfectly balanced.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, it's funny. I do.
I call it mercy.
I'm just going to laugh. I haven't seen it, but...
I'm just going to teach you how to snap.
Yeah.
They were doing that. They were trying to snap, and like they were just like flicking their fingers and like, can you hear this, Mom? And I'm like, you're not snapping. I also,
you're just giving everyone the finger. Stop.
I know. Just put it down. They were asking.
And saying fuck.
They were asking me the other day, they're like, is this finger bad, Mom? Is this finger bad, Mom? I was like, stop. And then Aaron was trying to do the Spider-Man hand, and he was just like, but my hand's not strong enough to do one, and he was only trying to put down his middle finger, and so it was actually the shocker he was trying to put his hand
on. Oh, shit. Like,
my hand's not strong enough, Mom. Good.
At least he wasn't going sideways, going, I can't shoot the goo out of my web slinger.
Thank God. Thank God. Yeah. No, this whole superhero thing, I love that they're getting into things, and it's because their dad loves it, and they're getting to be little nerdy-ass motherfuckers like my husband. But, also...
Who you love.
Yes, I do love him. He's nerdy, and he's introduced me into some nerdy things that I will not lie, I have fully loved. But, Jonathan came home with...
Heather touches herself to Voltron.
I've never done that.
I'm sorry, Gundam Wing, my bad.
But yeah, so Jonathan came home the other day.
Notice no denial. No denial.
I mean, how could you not?
I mean, there are people who do, and then there are people who lie about doing it.
Yeah.
That's my girl.
Jonathan came home from school the other day, and he was just like, I really like Carnage. And I'm like, are you saying Carnage? And he's like, no, my friend told me it was Carnage. And I'm like, no, it's Carnage. And like, we literally had a 10-minute argument about this. And I'm just like, how do I politely tell you that your friend has a speech impediment and it's Carnage? So, superheroes, it's fun. It's really fun. I did not get to see Avengers because baby girl cannot sit through a 3-hour-long movie.
I'm surprised the other two could.
Me too. I am too, actually. And as soon as I got out of the movie, then Jonathan starts, he tries to tell me about the movie, and then my husband is like, no, that's called a spoiler, and you're not allowed to tell people about a movie that they have not seen, especially one that is Avengers. And so we get in the car, and Mr. D steps outside for a cigarette, so he's smoking outside. He's not inside the vehicle. And Jonathan looks at me. He's just like, Mom, I want to talk to you about Avengers. And he keeps looking back at my husband. And he's just like, just, you know, all of this happened, and then this thing happened, and then also this. And he's just like, okay, fine, Dad can come back now. I'm like, okay.
Oh,
that's
God.
Fine. So he ruined the entire Avengers movie for me in 3 minutes because Dad was not around.
Record time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I managed to stay off the internet for a whole week. My kid ruined it in 3 minutes.
Oh, man. It was fun.
Yeah, I blacked out of social media for like 3 days. Like, I didn't even go to Yahoo.
Because
it's like, you know, Yahoo and every other site is like, oh, we follow that you've, you know, checked out the trailer 15 times. Here, let's... you know, spoiler, the first thing you see is spoilers ahead, and I'm like, I can't even.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. And I know Ryan gave some people some shit on Facebook about, you know, bawling uncontrollably over a certain part. And I'm like, look, yeah, given the circumstance of one part of the movie, I did get a little misty. But I wasn't like, oh my God.
Oh, no, this girl was...
Not to say there weren't people like that.
This girl in my theater was full on, like... like sobbing her eyes out over a certain part at the end of the movie, and to the point where all emotional impact of that moment was completely lost on me and my wife, and we were just laughing at her reaction to it.
if it's what my 5-year-old told me happened, I cried harder in, like, Spider-Verse over this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the first part in any Marvel movie that kind of gets you in the feels. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, oh, fuck. Wow. And then you think about the circumstance, you're like, oh, fuck. Man, damn. But I will say that I felt that the movie, every other movie leading up to it, just turned a page. And, like, even lines that were finished from other movies or callbacks to other movies, that movie closed the book. I will give you one spoiler so you don't waste any time. There's no post-credit scene.
That's what I hear that.
So, when it's done... Pick up your fucking garbage. Don't be an asshole to the 16-year-old kid that's still stuck there at 1:30 in the morning on a Saturday.
Yep. Used to be him.
Yep, exactly. Pick up your fucking trash. Even if the trash can is full, set it near the trash can. Make this poor bastard's job that much easier. Just because you paid $14 to get into a fucking movie does not give you the right to just be like, oh, they pay somebody to do this.
Oh, God.
Fuck that. Yeah. But yeah, just don't be an asshole.
You've not experienced hell until you've had to clean up a theater and pick up someone's spit cup.
Oh, God.
Ugh. And the worst ones are when they do it in a Pepsi bottle. Because it looks, on initial glance, like Pepsi. Even worse is the asshole coworker where you drink a Pepsi at work, and he uses a Pepsi as his dip cup, and somehow they get mixed up.
Oh, God.
And you go grab, you're like, oh, goddamn, I was outside for 20 minutes. A little frosty sip of carbonated sugar would be nice. And, all right, I'm dead. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I will say, though, the worst theater I ever had to clean up, I was working on Valentine's Day the year that 50 Shades of Grey came out, and that it was like a bomb went off in that theater.
That's awful.
Ugh. Ugh.
We found...
Tell me, I was going to say, use prophylactic all over.
I don't know about that, but we found multiple large bottles of wine that we did not sell at that theater.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We went and saw a movie one time, and, like, this couple went outside and then came back and brought a full-size blanket with them. It was the weirdest thing. I can't believe they let them through the doors.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, probably what would have been the worst one for you would be the local theater where I grew up. They ran Dazed and Confused on a midnight movie. So the midnight movie, you pay like $2, as opposed to back then like $8 or $9. So you go in, you know, and look, we all knew what we were doing. Everybody in that theater knew what they were doing. Every guy checking your ticket or walking past you in that movie theater knew what that clinking sound was. Okay? It was a fucking 6-pack of Heineken gently placed in my belt line within probably a good 4 inches of my balls. And yes, I walked in and it was clink, 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 clink. I didn't care. If the drug dog had been there, they could have just closed the theater at 12 o'clock. Because every single person in that theater was drinking a beer, smoking a joint. Every fucking one of us. And literally, you see the guy come walking in, you know, he's the ticket checker. No, he's just making sure that, you know, nobody's literally in the front row doing it. Like, if you're two rows back doing it, he don't care. You know, and he's got his little, you know, park your aircraft here, light cone. He literally just walks in, goes to the corner, you see him stop, and everybody takes notice. So literally, all you see is the cherry at the end of a joint just go down. That's it. Everybody still exhales. There's still shitloads of coughing. And he literally just walks, looks, turns around and leaves. And we're like, well, I didn't see any cops outside. Yeah, we should be good. And we just kept blazing up through. I mean, I think we finished the movie. Uber didn't exist back then. I'm pretty sure I drove us home safe.
You're a lot.
I don't know. Just drunk and high by 1:30 in the morning, coming out of a movie theater. It's good fun for $2. And, you know, like the $7 a six-pack cost back in the day. And, you know, a dime bag was still $10. But anyways, yeah. We'll get off my bad decisions and former drug use. What better way? No, I'm just kidding. What better way to segue into Ryan's show? No. That's a terrible segue. This is a responsible young man who is working very hard to create his new life with his new wife. He's, trying to find a good, steady job. Mm-hmm. And it's going to happen. I mean, really nothing to worry about there. Ryan's going to take over the show here to share two things with us. And unfortunately, me being the host, I am going to jump in on one of these because I have one. But we're going to port something over from Couch Party, and that is Thunderdome. Ryan has brought a Thunderdome to the show. And then we're going to hear about Digital Men and his new show, Rolling Bones, with Ryan Howard. So, Ryan, Rantyville is all yours.
Thank you. So, for Thunderdome, there's no headline for this, although I suppose I could make one. And if I had to, it would be Florida man nearly drowns trying to avoid getting wet on water ride.
Oh, fuck.
So, Kathy and I, for our honeymoon, we honeymooned in Thunderdome. And we attended Universal Studios. Kathy's a big Harry Potter fan, had never seen Harry Potter World, so we went to Universal Studios, and we had a great time. However, at Universal Studios, there is this, like, Cartoon Land area, and there's a ride themed after Popeye and Bluto that's a water ride. It's advertised as one of the wettest water rides in, like, the entire country. They guarantee you that you will get wet on this ride.
It's a water ride. Who the fuck it?
And it's one of those, like, raft rides. And in the middle of the raft, they've got this little round tub with a plastic sheet over it for you to put, like, your phone and stuff in so it doesn't get wet. So we get in the raft, and it's us and then this family, this big, giant family of, I don't know where they were from, but they were all speaking Spanish. So they're all in the raft with us. We put our stuff in the thing in the middle. After the raft leaves the station, one of the guys in the cart immediately goes for the plastic thing and starts trying to check his phone. Which is a problem because our phones are in there too. And we don't want them to get wet. But then, another guy on the raft, as soon as we go down, like, the first little dip and water comes into the raft, unbuckles his seatbelt and, like, posts himself up so his butt's not touching the seat and is trying the entire time to avoid getting wet on this water ride.
Oh my god.
And he was like posted up on like the plastic thing in the top of the raft the entire time, and I was rooting for him to fall out.
Oh, absolutely.
I wanted this man to win his Darwin Award. And unfortunately, it never came.
Oh, man.
Maybe he got it in the mail later. Maybe he went on the fire ride and was like, hey, I don't have a lighter. Let's go ride that ride.
But literally, in the line for this ride, it says, you will get wet. There's not a dry space on this ride. Why are you on it?
he was fact checking the sign.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Why he couldn't win that award, that's a tragedy.
I think
that's a tragedy that he lived.
I mean, I feel like our world that we're in right now just shows that natural selection is kind of slowed down a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we hardcore killed off natural selection.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nerfed the world.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is the world still flat, according to your mom?
Oh yeah, it's still flat.
Is your mom on the flat earth train?
My mother is a flat earther. She's an anti-vaxxer. God. She's a flat earther. It's a fucking nightmare.
Does she know that that was literally just a goof from 4chan?
I don't think so.
Does she know what 4chan is?
No. She knows YouTube and Facebook, and she clicks on all these things, and also apparently her debit card had gotten compromised. I'm like, that's because you're ordering supplements off of the internet?
Yep.
I don't...
That's because you're donating money to the Flat Earth Society?
Yeah. The earth is flat.
And they're like, no, that's not enough. We need more.
Yeah. It's her and B.O.B. keeping it alive.
It's bad. Oh, it's bad.
Yeah. Well, it's bad, and I'm going to throw my own Thunderdome in here real quick. It's bad, but it's not quite as bad as this. This was reported near the east side of Rantyville. I'm going to leave cities and states out. Headline, Ford Chevy dispute leaves three people shot, prosecutors say. Yeah. Yeah. That this is a thing. City state. A dispute that started with the age-old argument about the superiority of Ford versus Chevrolet trucks ended in gunfire, leaving multiple people shot at a blank home, prosecutors say. Such-and-such county deputies arrested 56-year-old Mark Edwin Turner after receiving a 911 call around 11:30 on April 23rd. Responding officers found two women and a man lying in the grass in front of address, yelling in pain and stating that they had been shot by Mark Turner. Do you have a ID on the suspect? Yeah, just go look at any fucking family portrait on the wall. He's been charged with felony malicious wounding, use of a firearm, and commission of a felony, and possession of a firearm by a felon. Okay, so he was a winner to begin with. Turner had apparently gathered with his girlfriend, her son, and her son's girlfriend. Wait, what? Oh, his girlfriend, excuse me. Her son and her son's girlfriend for a family dinner. The Commonwealth attorney told such and such that alcohol was involved, do you think? And that there was, quote, a dispute between Turner and his girlfriend's son about which truck was better, Ford or Chevrolet. Are you fucking kidding me? And so this is how it starts. The argument turned violent when Turner pulled out a knife. Bailey's mother tried to intervene and was stabbed once in the back. Okay. If somebody's mom jumps in and says, all right, guys, break it up. You don't fucking stab her in the back. Jesus. Again, to be stabbed in the back, she had to have her back to you. So you're like, I'm going to fix this bitch. Shank. No. Turner then went into the house and returned with a handgun. Mother tried to intervene between the two of them during that time. She was shot a total of 5 times. Now, this just tells you how bad of a shot he was and why he's a felon, because he got caught. All of those injuries occurring to her legs. You can stab a bitch in the back, but you can't shoot her properly. You fucking take out her feet. Thanks a lot, asshole. Turner allegedly shot Bailey once in the arm, and 2 bullets are believed to have ricocheted, striking Bailey's girlfriend in the cheek and back. That's pretty rough. To get shot on the fucking ricochet in the cheek. Said the victim's injuries were serious but not life-threatening. They arrested him after he barricaded himself inside the house for more than 2 hours. Now here's the real deal breaker. He may face additional charges. He said, investigator said, after responding, officers reported finding 2 cell phones, a pistol, a smoking device, I didn't air quote, 3 green plants, and drug paraphernalia. I get it. They're not just going to be like, we found weed. They got to test it, I guess. Maybe these officers in this small rural county don't know what dope looks like.
Yeah, it could just be succulents. Those are really popular right now.
Right. Right. They just said, 3 green plants, and he's going to be released for having ferns. You shot somebody and had it ricochet over a Ford versus Chevy argument? Are you fucking kidding me? Oh my God. Now, again, if this had happened anywhere else, like let's say this were to happen in Washington, D.C., it would have just been like a little bitch fist, you know, slapping match over, you know, is the Tesla Model S or the Model 3 more superior? You know? Or, you know, oh, which is better, BMW or Mercedes? But we shot somebody over a Ford Chevy argument. That, you know, that makes me very glad I'm out of the auto parts industry, because that fucking argument raged on every day. And it wasn't between the employees. You know, somebody come in, they'd have a big jacked up Chevy pickup truck, and then somebody'd pull in next to them with a big jacked up Ford truck, and these 2 small penised individuals would walk in. And they'd be like, whatever, man, your truck's all right. Yeah, here's a piece of shit. And they go back and forth. But nobody fucking shot each other. And nobody went out and jumped up in their truck and fished around under the seat and pulled out a handgun. I mean, certainly nobody got stabbed in the back. Oh, my God. Ford versus Chevy. Get the fuck out of here. Over it. It's done. Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, and I'll send you guys the picture. I mean, there's really no mistaking that this guy is definitely a Ford versus Chevy guy. But it doesn't tell you which one won the argument.
Yeah, that's what I want to know now.
Right, like, is the Silverado superior, or is it the F-150? Yeah. I need to know. So that when I argue with you later, I don't get shot. For fuck's sake. So anyhow. I should have said it in the beginning, but this was Thunderdome. And this also is the part where we start wrapping up the show, but not before our guest shares a little bit of information about his show. So, Ryan, once again, the floor of Rantyville is all
Thank
yours.
Thank you. So, those of you who have heard me on the show before know that I am the co-host of a rock music podcast called Digital Men Audio. Now, since I was getting married and my co-host Brent had some stuff going on in his personal life, we've been on hiatus for a while, but we are returning next week. We're going to be recording again, and we will be back to regularly releasing episodes in the month of May.
Woo!
Yeah.
We're going to change some things up. Digital Men's going to get a little bit of an overhaul, but it's still going to be me and Brent talking about the music we love and sharing it with all of you guys.
And are you still going to pop a rock rant in there?
Absolutely.
Every now and then? Excellent.
In addition to that, I have also started my own solo side project. Not talking about music, I'm talking about something else that I'm very passionate about, and that is, of course, Dungeons & Dragons, because I am a nerd.
But it's okay, because you're self-professed.
Absolutely. And this project is called Rollin' Bones with Ryan Howard. It is available right now on anchor.fm. Trying to get it out to other podcast networks. I'm still pending on all of them. But basically what I'm doing with that show is it's me and then a guest. And my guests are other people who play D&D, trying to reach out to some people who make content for D&D on the internet, trying to reach out to some people who actually design tabletop RPGs and stuff like that. And basically, we're just having long-form conversations, kind of like you'd hear on the Joe Rogan Experience, but about Dungeons & Dragons.
Nice.
Okay. So I like that because years ago, you know, some friends would get together, and we would actually play. we all, like, some of us played Dungeons & Dragons, some of us played BattleTech or whatever, Mech Warrior. But nobody could ever agree to all play the same thing at the same time. So we had one friend named Billy, and he just said, all right, we're going to play Billy Tech. And he literally made up the entire game every time as we went through. And he would just come up with the most outlandish shit. You know, it would be like, all right, you've reached this passageway. You can go left, you can go right. It's like, all right, I choose to go right. Okay, I choose to go left. Okay, player one goes left and encounters a dragon. Player two goes right and gets knocked out by being hit upside the head with a dildo. It was, again, we just took it to the most outrageous places. But God, Billy Tech was so much fun.
It's like Gale Force Winds.
Yeah. it was so much fun, but yeah, I mean, and I'll tell you, I know of a few people that do similar stuff, but I look forward to a new perspective on it. And you know, some of these guys I met podcast conference, you know, through Twitter, stuff like that. But I mean, the way you talk and with the passion on digital, man, and I think that carrying over that same intensity. You're not intense. You're not like, oh, if you don't like Rush, I'll fucking kill you. You know? But, you know, carrying over that same passion for something, I'd feel pretty good that this show's going to do just as well as Digital Men does.
I hope so.
I hope. Well, and furthermore, you know, the two-show format, which I'm fairly well acquainted with, you know, a lot of times it'll port one audience over to another. Yeah, I couldn't tell you how many people, you know, were listening to this and they were like, oh shit, you do Couch Party too? Okay, all right, check that out. Although I get more requests for like, hey, can you send me that episode of the Retail Rant where you said this, you know, where you said you wanted to kick this old bitch in the labia? And I'm like, fuck, what number was that? Was it number 22? Was it 88? And here I am, I'm like, I know I said it at the end, so I listened to like 90 MP3 files, and I'm like, oh, I finally found it. Here you go, Dylan the cashier, enjoy. But yeah, and just for the record, it's been long enough, some of those might just get re-released, I don't know. Not to steal any thunder, I'm sorry, this is about your shows. I'm going to shut the fuck up. And give you a chance to do Artist of the Week here in a minute. But finish up, tell us about your shows and, you know, your relationship with Brent and how you guys play off each other incredibly well, by the way. And then I'll have Heather properly close it out. And then I think we're going to play some Them Evils.
Absolutely.
The band that we were actually able to check out together. And again, great call, because on the way back to the hotel, I was like, iTunes, Thumbprint, Pay. Hey, honey, you want to listen to that song again? And she's like, I can't hear right now. and it's cold as fuck, and I want something to eat. So my options were walk 2 blocks to this diner, or walk 3 blocks down to this 7-Eleven. Guess which one she chose?
7-Eleven.
Yeah. Into the wind.
It was super blocks cold into the wind. That day.
Oh my god. I've never been happier to get next to a heat lamp at a 7-Eleven. And be like, I don't want food, I just want to feel my fucking fingers again. But, yeah, so tell us about the show, and then we'll wrap this thing up.
Well, yeah, Digital Men, we're available on Podbean, we're available on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, pretty much anywhere where you get your podcasts. It's going to be good to be talking music with Brent again. I've missed talking with him. He almost actually was going to come to the wedding. For those of you who don't know, Brent and I actually live in separate parts of the country, and we've never met in person.
Same. And I
was looking forward to meeting Brent in person for the first time, but unfortunately, some stuff was going on with his family, and he could not make it to the wedding. But
that's a shame.
I'm looking forward to getting Rolling Bones off the ground. I'm looking forward to getting back to Digital Men. You know, I've missed podcasting. As hard as it can be to edit stuff and get it out in a timely fashion, I've missed this, and I'm glad that I'm doing it again.
It'll be good to have you back on the air, and I'm right there with you, the editing sometimes. Oh, my God. You can write down all the time marks you want, and then you realize the software is like 10 minutes
off. Yep.
You're like, how the fuck did you do that? I don't even want to know. I'd like to know, so I don't have to listen to the entire episode and go, oh, stop, delete that. But, yeah, man, it'll be great to have you back on the air. It'd be great to have you back to Rantyville. When I do get back around to doing Couch Party, it's going to be a bit different. It's not just going to be the Couch Party crew anymore. It's going to be podcasters from everywhere, from every topic, every genre. And, you know, they talk, a lot of people talk about Potter and Family. I haven't really found too many shows that will just grab a random podcast and be like, let's talk. So I think that's going to be the next evolution of the Couch Party. Of course, my boys and my girls, you know, those mixed feelings chicks, and Heather, they're still going to be here. Well, you're not on Couch Party all the time.
I know.
Well, I take that back. You were the first guest on the new episodes. And that's when we decided, you know what, let's go back and do Welcome to Rantyville after our abrupt TRB fuck up that took us off the air for
it's fun. It's a good story.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for calling the retail rant. Oh, fuck. If you Google retail rant, Heather D just shows right up
there.
A lot.
Just right there. It wasn't even my thing.
Yeah. On this episode, Heather D says, oh, shit. Yeah, it was fun. Delete. Hey, Heather, you want me to take this one down? Okay, you want me to take this one down? You know what? I'm just going to crash the whole fucking thing. Yeah.
Remember how I talked shit about all of my coworkers and my entire job for the last year? It was fun, though. It was a good story, and it made me get a better job, so thank you.
You're welcome. I'm glad to fuck your life up and have it come out a better end result.
I mean, it's much better than the other outcome.
It's true. That's true. Which would have ended up pretty much the same way it did at the bar. Somebody coming up to you drunkenly and going, listen here, I'm going to tell you something. And you're going to be like, I'm sorry, that doesn't smell like your husband's penis on your breath. Oh, man. But anyhow, so Ryan, thank you for coming on. I know we tried to get this scheduled last week, and it just unfortunately was not in the cards. But yeah, we're looking forward to the show coming back. We're looking forward to you coming back on this show. We're going to have a good time. Unfortunately, I know our meetups are going to be a little bit further apart now, but we'll definitely have one, hopefully, again by the end of the year. Yeah. We'll go catch a 311 Dirty Heads show.
Yeah, sounds like fun.
No? Yeah? Okay. All right, good. I know it's not necessarily right up your alley, but I could get drunk at it for sure. Yeah. Because they're coming here locally, but they're not bringing the Dirty Heads. They're doing a festival, and it's it's like five other bands that I'd never heard of, so I started listening to their stuff, and I was like, yeah, fuck that. I'd rather just drive a little bit further and go see everybody I want to see. But anyhow, so thank you again for taking the time out to come on and just have a good time. Oh, yeah. Just have fun, chit-chat, talk about spray paint and dicks on the streets. I mean, this has been Pubes and Pavement.
Absolutely.
But as you know, it's not a complete episode of Welcome to Rantyville until Heather delivers a very special message to a very special lady in your life. And then I'll have you close it out, letting us know about our artist of the week. So, Heather, take it away.
Does your mom do Zumba despite her knee problems? Tell her I said hi.
Yep.
Yep. You're great.
I was going to go
all right, Ryan.
My penises thing, but you stole my thunder.
Oh, stop it. we'll have to find out who wins the contest.
Yep.
But that's going to do it for this week's episode of Welcome to Rantyville. And our guest, Mr. Ryan Howard, at Howard_RyanGrips,
absolutely.
Right?
Yep, on Twitter and Instagram.
Follow the man in all those places and subscribe to both shows. Again, Podbean. I'm sure iTunes is probably not too far around the corner for the second show. It's already up on iTunes for Digital Men. So definitely hit that subscribe button there and leave the man a very kind review because he does an excellent job.
Thank you.
And now he's going to close it out with a band that he turned me on to at a live show.
Absolutely. This week's Artist of the Week is going to be Them Evils in honor of them signing with a major rock record label. They are now part of the same music group that publishes Motley Crue and Five Finger Death Punch's albums. So big things coming up for them, but this one comes off of their Rolling Stoned and Living Free LP, which Ranty got right after we saw that concert. And yes. This is a little track called Practice What You Preach, and I hope you all enjoy it.